This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold. California Chrome wins the Dubai World Cup.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Presented by Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, Double Diamond Farm, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Gulfstream Park, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Kirkwood Stables, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, the New York Thoroughbred Breeding and Development Fund, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, RacehorseDraft.com, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Sunrise Stallions, Tony's of Lexington, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
The outside forever moment, dazzling gem. Motom got stopped hard. It's Gone Runner. Gone Runner for Roland Giroux. Clear to the finish in the Louisiana Derby.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pope Jude, Pontiff of the Pick Four, call him what you will. We are together again in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, 3 weeks away from the first Saturday in May, and still some things yet to be decided along that road to the Kentucky Derby. Of course, this afternoon, the Arkansas Derby taking place at Oaklawn Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And right here in Lexington, Kentucky, the Lexington Stakes, which, by the way, now a Grade 3 event, is going to feature a big field and one horse hoping to maybe earn enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby there. We'll see if there's any impact after the results of that race, which you're going to hear with us this afternoon, beginning 4:30 Eastern time. JT, good morning.
Good morning.
Still okay? A little,
yeah.
After that big afternoon at Keeneland yesterday?
All over but the shouting.
Was there plenty of... All right, now, so let's set the stage here for people. Your brother, Bob, involved with a little horse by the name of Miss Temple City, a girl taking on the boys in the Makers 46 Mile yesterday at Keeneland. And you were there.
And I was there. It was unbelievable. It's so great to see a horse that my brother bred and owns part of. And, you know, just so exciting to win the Makers 46 Mile, a Grade 1 race, be there. Two of my kids were in attendance. My exercise girl, Amy Bringhurst, longtime employee of mine when I was a trainer, and her daughter are here, and so we all got our pictures taken, and it was just a fantastic day for our family and friends. And can't say enough nice things about Miss Temple City. You know, I went to Temple City High School, and so did my daughters, and so Temple City, the home of camellias, has a soft spot in our heart, and it's one of the reasons that my brother actually bought into Temple City. The sire of Miss Temple City stands over at Spendthrift when my nephew was working there, and they had the Share the Upside program, and of course he was attracted to the Dynaformer part of it, but he was also attracted to the Temple City name because like the rest of us, he was raised in Temple City for a lot of his life. So it was pretty cool all the way around.
The first female ever to win the Makers 46 Mile, formerly known as the Makers Mark Mile.
Yeah, and evidently the first one to ever run in it.
Oh, I hadn't realized that.
I didn't really. Either. I knew she was the first one to win it. But then later on, Keeneland's publicity department said that she was the first one to ever run in the race. So that was quite an honor. Now, you know, Wise Dan was running in it several times, so a lot of people didn't want to run in there against Wise Dan. But she was cross-entered in the Jenny Wiley today, which is an awesome race.
Yeah, I'm assuming she's going to be scratched from that one, or do we try to pull off the
Well,
double?
You know, I suggested yesterday they just run her right back because I think she can win again the way she ran yesterday. And she wasn't the least bit tired. Great emotion. What a great job. And Drayden Van Dyke, he fits that filly like a glove. I mean, just really gets her to relax. She's kind of a headstrong filly, and Drayden just lets her kind of settle in and really, really good effort by the whole team. I mean, it was just fantastic.
Yeah, congratulations to everyone associated with Miss Temple City. And then, of course, we saw Forever Unbridled yesterday afternoon at Oaklawn take the Grade 1 Apple Blossom. And, boy, is she on a roll. That's her third consecutive graded stakes victory. And Dallas Stewart really has her going in the right direction.
Yeah, Dallas, you know, he's kind of like a catfish. He kind of, like, floats along the bottom in the weeds. You don't hear much about Dallas, you know, and he's not as famous as some of the other Lucas proteges, but man, he gets results. And,
some would say more like a possum.
Well, some might say that, but you know, he quietly does a great job and all credit to him.
Yeah. Tremendous, tremendous race from Forever Unbridled yesterday as well. Now, speaking of leading ladies in the sport, we're going to see another good one this afternoon, and that is also part of our coverage beginning at 4:30 Eastern, live from Keeneland. We'll bring you coverage of the Grade 3 Lexington for the three-year-olds, but then the race following that is actually the featured event because it is the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley. You just mentioned Miss Temple City was cross-entered in that spot. She will not run, obviously, but we are going to see Teppan from the barn of Mark Cassie, and the champion has really, really been good since coming back here in 2016.
Yeah, and you got to say she's kind of the queen of Keeneland.
Yeah.
She obviously loves the Keeneland turf course. Of course, I think right now you could run her anywhere on anything and she probably would win. But that's a big key, as we learned during the Breeders' Cup. Horses that run good at Keeneland continue to run well, and she certainly fits that mold. Plus, she's just on a roll. Cassie's on a roll as well. So that's one of the reasons Miss Temple City ran yesterday.
All right. You are going to hear from trainer Mark Cassie later in this program. He'll join us right around 8:30 Eastern time. He, of course, will talk about Teppan. He will talk about Riker, who goes to the post in the Lexington Stakes. He'll also talk about Fellowship, who is now in his barn, previously trained by Stanley Gold down in Florida, now moving over to the Cassie barn. So we'll talk to him about Fellowship as he preps for the Kentucky Derby. I think that's going to be an interesting conversation because I want to know what it's like for a trainer who inherits a Derby horse here at the last minute.
Yeah, well, he's kind of a fringe Derby horse, but he's got his work cut out for him. I mean, he's really going to have to step it up if he's going to make any impact in the Kentucky Derby.
All right, Mark, we'll talk about that coming up 8:30 Eastern. Doug Dearen from Derby Box is going to join us right around 8:15 Eastern time. Doug, of course, the man who puts together all of the different packages and seating options for you for the Kentucky Derby. They've been a sponsor of this program for the past several years, and we'll encourage you to go to derbybox.com to check them out. And then at the end of the first hour, JT, Jenny Reese is on location in Arkansas at Oaklawn Park, and she sent several interviews throughout the week, and many of those are posted on our website right now at horseracingradio.net. But we're going to have some clips from some of those interviews. You're going to hear from Jimmy Barnes, the assistant trainer to Bob Baffert, as he talks about the Arkansas Derby favorite, Cupid. You'll hear from Dennis Albaugh as he looks back on that memorable win by Brody's Cause last week and then ahead to Unbridled Outlaw in today's Arkansas Derby. Ron Moquette is going to be, well, not with us, but he'll be one of those clips that we play for you. He's going to talk about what it's like to take on a horse like Cupid as he sends out Whitmore, who was runner-up last time out behind him in the Rebel.
Yeah, Whitmore ran a bang-up race against Cupid. You know me, I'm not the biggest Cupid fan.
He might prove you wrong today.
It's Maybe. Possible. He certainly is a big influence on the race.
All right, well, here's our poll question then, and I know which way you're voting. All right, in the Arkansas Derby today, and this poll question is going to be very simple. We're going to give you Cupid, or you can have the field. You have two choices with our poll question. We want to know if you're taking Cupid, who is the 2-1 morning line favorite, or if you're taking the rest of the horses in the Arkansas Derby. So it's Cupid versus the field in our poll question. You can tweet to us or tweet and participate in that survey at HRRN.
Where can I get down on that bet?
Yeah, I know which way you're going. All right, we're going to get to a break. We will come back and get you set for this very busy 2 hours on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Springs Stallion Mucho Macho Man was a precocious two-year-old, finishing runner-up in both the Grade 2 Nashua and Grade 2 Remsen, despite being a June 15th foal. As a three-year-old, Mucho Macho Man displayed his classic ability with an impressive win in the Grade 2 Risen Star before a game third-place finish in the Kentucky Derby. As an older horse, Mucho Macho Man dominated his competition with Grade 1 wins in the Awesome Again, Suburban, Gulfstream Park Handicap, and Breeders' Cup Classic.
Mucho Macho Man and Gary Stevens as they take the Grade 1 Awesome Again in effortless fashion.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126 Suburban.
And Mucho Macho Man has won the Gulfstream Park Handicap.
Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
An earner of $5.6 million, Mucho Macho Man's first foals arrived this spring. Learn more by visiting adinastallions.com.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match stride with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Justin Phillip, a blue blood sprinter whose first crop have been highly acclaimed at the sales. By the exciting young sire First Samurai and a half-brother to three other graded stakes winners, including Algorithms and Grade 1 winning Kentucky Derby prospect Greenpoint Crusader. Justin Phillip made 32 lifetime starts, 23 in graded stakes, with 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better.
And Justin Phillip will do it! He was a monster in the mud!
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint!
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two!
With first crop foals bringing up to $110,000 at the 2015 fall sales, Justin Phillip had a weanling sales average of more than $50,000, and he stands for a value price stud fee of only $5,000. Justin Phillip at Castleton Lions. Are you a believer? Visit CastletonLions.com.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Sudden breaking news has got an awful lot to do with less than a quarter of a mile to go. They went three quarters and 1/12 flat. Cupid trying to seal the deal, but here's Whitmore down the outside for Ortiz Jr. Gray Sky back third. It's Cupid or Whitmore to the wire. Cupid on the inside. Whitmore trying to get past on the outside, but Cupid has something in reserve, and Cupid wins the Rebel. Whitmore was second in front of Creator, who flew home to be third. It's a photo for fourth between Cherry Wine and Sudden Breaking News in 143 and 4.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you on Sirius XM Channel 93 on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, Arkansas, and across the country. And, of course, streaming worldwide to more than 160 countries throughout the year at horseracingradio.net. Pete Aiello with the call of the Rebel Stakes, and Cupid getting the victory that afternoon for who else? Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. Cupid back in action this afternoon in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. Post time for that one, 7:18 Eastern time. So that's 6:18 locally in Arkansas. And he was very, very impressive last time out. So many people now saying he may be among the top two or three horses to beat 3 weeks from today in Louisville. But he has to step up and prove himself yet again this afternoon, JT.
Yeah, no question about it. It's a little bit tougher field. Some better riders in the race. I don't think they're going to let him out to an easy lead like he had in the Rebel. A lot of people think he doesn't need the lead. That might be the case. But I don't think Baffert's going to take many prisoners. His usual style at Oakland is to blast off. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, he's highly regarded in the Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll presented by Brisnet.com, which is available for you right now on our website, horseracingradio.net. You can check it out each and every week. Every Monday, our pollsters update their top 20 rankings for the Kentucky Derby, and Cupid certainly among the top few. So you can check it all out. The Ultimate Kentucky Derby poll presented by Brisnet.com at horseracingradio.net. We are 21 days, 10 hours, 17 minutes, and just 50 seconds away from the Run for the Roses, the 142nd edition. And nobody knows that better than Doug Dearen, who is with DerbyBox.com. Doug, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here again. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Happy pre-Derby here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Appreciate you taking a little time.
No problem. It's been a busy... It's been a busy week for us.
Yeah, I can imagine. Are things really starting to pick up at this point?
Yeah, it kicks in, especially when the big prep races hit and they get on TV. And then all our stuff kicks into play as far as the hotel communications, the vans and transportations, the restaurant reservations, all the other stuff we do other than just tickets. All that has to go into place. Everybody starts to call and say, hey, where's my tickets? Where's my confirmation numbers? And when am I getting picked up? And everybody is getting excited as the weather changes, the racing gets on TV, it gets to the headlines of the newspapers, and everybody gets kind of juiced up.
You know, I think that's important for people to remember when they look at an organization like yours at DerbyBox.com is that it's not just about the tickets. There's all kinds of different hospitality and different hotel packages you put together for people. Talk a little bit about that, Doug.
Well, and that's just it. And we compliment Churchill Downs because they've done a great job of extending the Derby experience more than just, you know, one day. It's a week long, it's a 2 week thing as far as festivities, but also our people that want to travel with us and have been traveling with us for 15 years. This is our 15 year anniversary, but, they've extended their opening, night racing on Saturday that people want to attend. There's the Taste of Derby party on Thursday. Now Thurby is becoming such a big popular item. It's really taken off in popularity, and of course all the regular parties that have always existed, plus a lot of the downtown events that are going on in the city of Louisville, and it's just becoming usually our packages include three nights. Well, now we're adding a fourth and fifth night to a lot of our hotel packages with the entire weekend and like the things I mentioned during the week.
Well, you know, I was standing out in front of Keeneland on Thursday, and a guy was talking about Derby tickets and how important it was to deal with a reputable company. There's a lot of charlatans that prey on people's gullibility at Derby time, and if they go to you, they can be assured they're not getting counterfeit tickets. They're not being taken advantage of. Talk about that a little bit and how important it is to really know what you're getting when you buy Derby tickets.
That's a good point. And sadly, like a lot of professions, I guess, there's always some bad apples. And it's happened in our industry. It's gotten into the newspapers. There's been people that have taken money and promised tickets, promised packages. And then when it comes time to deliver, they don't have the tickets, and they the money is never get gets returned, and there's still ongoing investigations and lawsuits and countersuits and those type of things, and it's a shame. And but we ask people to do some background. I mean, this is not an inexpensive event. This is not like going to the ballpark. It's a big investment to go to the Kentucky Derby, and it costs a lot of money. So it's important to take your time, look at the facts, Better Business Bureau ratings, link the time in business, read some of the comments by past customers, and ask around. And that's the kind of thing that we try to emphasize. Is this is all we do. You know, we don't do the Super Bowl. We don't do the Final Four. We do the Kentucky Derby, and we do it year-round. And people ask me all the time, well, what do you do after the Derby? We start working on the next Derby. That's what we do after the Derby. So we ensure that the tickets are legitimate, and we've never had a customer that has never received their tickets that they purchased from us. And that's what we take a lot of pride in. And this year more than ever, we've had so many repeat customers. Well, a lot has to do with that horse named American Pharoah from last year. People wanted to really come back and see the possibility of, again, the excitement of the Triple Crown. But to answer your question, yeah, take some time out, read the reviews, and study a little bit, and give us a call and ask some questions.
And it's so nice that your service is complete, so you can suggest places to go to dinner and get reservations, and you've got the hotel situation covered. So somebody, it's a one-stop shop. You don't have to put out a tremendous amount of effort to have the ultimate experience if somebody buys a package from you.
Yeah, and that's really a part of our business that's grown over the years. That horse farm tours, bourbon tours, trips to Frankfort and to Lexington to see the different aspects of the state of Kentucky. People are intrigued by our state and what goes on here, and it's growing, and we've had to make arrangements to alter our packages to include those types of things. And a lot of the questions when people first call us, the first question is, I've never been to the Derby. It's a lifelong dream. It's a bucket list thing. What can you tell me? And so the fact that, me personally, I've been to 35 consecutive Derbies and lived here all my life, it's easy to sit down and tell the people, from a firsthand standpoint. All our staff here is similar to me. They're Louisville residents and been to the Kentucky Derby many, many times. And being able to communicate to them exactly what it entails and tell people, where to park, where to store your hat on the airplane when you travel, what kind of shoes to wear when you're walking from the parking lot. All those type of little things help ensure to make this weekend, a memorable one, because a lot of people only do it one time, and it is a huge bucket list thing. And we want to make it just memorable and just something very, very special.
Talking with Doug Dearen from DerbyBox.com here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Doug, I'm glad you brought up American Pharoah and the bump that you're seeing in sales based on what American Pharoah did for the sport last year, because I've always said, in regards to the Kentucky Derby, it is an event that transcends the sport of thoroughbred racing, meaning that you're going to get so many people interested in the Kentucky Derby that are not remotely horse racing fans, but they're fans of sport. And it is the greatest 2 minutes in all of sports, and so many people will want to be part of this event just because of the fact that it is the Kentucky Derby. And now with American Pharoah doing what he did last year with the Triple Crown, it has really brought the sport to the attention of people that are not necessarily hardcore horse racing fans.
Yeah, and there again, right after he won the Triple Crown and right after he won the Breeders' Cup, our phones were ringing off the hook. I want to get to the Derby. I want to see this type of experience. The thrill of the excitement that was seen on TV, and then the polls that were out there about athlete of the year and sportsman of the year, a horse and our sport. That took the limelight, and it was really a special thing. I just hope we can continue. And I remember back in the 70s, once, the Triple Crown started, they started to come quite frequently. So maybe that'll be a trend here.
Well, Doug, we can't thank you enough for your support of what we do here on the network. You've been a big supporter here for the past several years, and we're going to encourage people to go to derbybox.com. If you don't already have your ticket packages, give Doug a call. Give the folks a call at derbybox.com. 15 years in business as a Kentucky Derby tour and travel company and an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating. Doug, can't thank you enough, my friend, and all the best. Enjoy the next few weeks and enjoy the Kentucky Derby.
Well, I appreciate you guys again, and you know, one other point is, you know, we share the same common interests as you guys. I mean, we love the sport and the industry, and we need to stick together, and we need to work together to promote it, and that's what we do. We're not just a ticket agency. We're not just a travel agency. You know, we're here to promote the sport, and there's nothing better, and like you said, the greatest 2 minutes in sports.
Well said, my friend. Appreciate it, Doug.
Okay, thank you.
All right, like all of our guests who appear on the program, Doug's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion by going to embracetherace.com. Time now for your Lexus Legends of the Turf story, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in Lexington, Kentucky.
On November 3, 1923, the largest crowd ever to pass through the gates at Latonia was on hand for the running of the championship stakes. Sportsmen from Maine to California, from Minnesota to Florida were there, and filled with enormous excitement, enthusiasm, and expectation. What they came to see was a most memorable horse race indeed. Harry F. Sinclair's Great Zeb, coming off a resounding win over Papyrus in a match race at Belmont Park a few weeks earlier, was to be challenged by Carl Weideman's In Memoriam and the superb My Own. The value of the race was a hefty $50,000, and there were four entries. The track was in excellent shape in spite of a day-long drizzle. Earl Sandy was to be aboard Zeb as usual. Matt Garner had a leg up on In Memoriam, and Earl Poole had the mount on My Own. The crowd, so huge that the infield had to handle the overflow, included James M. Cox, the former governor of Ohio, who was a presidential candidate at the time on the Democratic ticket. Cox was to present the winning owner a gold cup. There was a lot to be proven in this race. Zeb had beaten In Memoriam in the Kentucky Derby, but many observers felt In Memoriam was at less than top form in that outing. It was 3:38 in the afternoon on that November 3rd of 1923 when the four-horse field reached the starting gate at the head of the stretch. Starter William Hamilton had his hands full in spite of the small field, and it took 3 minutes to establish some form of order. But when they aligned to his satisfaction, he got them away to a perfect start. In Memoriam had been particularly raucous at the post, but once settled down was away in front. Zeb was second, then Rialto and My Own. Going by the stands for the first time, first it was In Memoriam and then Zeb exchanging leads. Zeb then assumed command with My Own moving up to second, In Memoriam third, and then Rialto. Zeb was being settled into stride and well rated into and on around the turn and continued to set the pace down the long backside. It did not appear, however, that Zeb was running with his customary long, smooth stride. At the far turn, Earl Sandy appeared to be having trouble rating Zeb, and it now looked to be which challenger would be the first to corral the leader, In Memoriam or My Own. As they hit the top of the stretch in the run for the wire, Matt Garner asked In Memoriam for extra speed, and he got it as he pulled even with Zeb. Sandy dug in on Zeb and asked his big brown colt who was wearing blinkers for reserve speed and energy. My Own, under Poole, was not far back, but was flattening out. In Memoriam got by Zeb at the eighth pole, even though Sandy was whipping and driving for all he was worth on the gallant Zeb, who was soundly beaten the last 16th. In Memoriam had gained sweet revenge for the Derby defeat and coasted home a winner, and after In Memoriam had won, owner Carl Weideman said he had known all along his horse could whip the other three, all of whom had been shipped in from the East. Quote, "There never was any doubt in my mind that In Memoriam could trim Zeb or My Own. My colt's win today bears that theory out. None of the Easterners had any excuse to offer, and I acknowledge their sportsmanship as none of them tried to alibi." Unquote. A great moment. The Latonia Championship Stakes, November 3rd, 1923, when In Memoriam with Zeb and My Own in Thoroughbred Racing.
The Kentucky Derby runs here.
American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby!
HRRN is proud to be your home for the 142nd Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And Teppan just off the leader's flank in second top of the stretch. A gap of two more to Tourist, who swings to the outside third. Mashawish is fourth in the center of the course. Grand Arch fifth back toward the inside. And then Impassable. Teppan has taken the lead, coming past the eighth pole. Obviously second, Grand Arch is coming late from third. But Teppan has a five-length margin and deep stretch. It is Teppan with Julian Leperoux. Mondial Least runs late to second. But Teppan has won the Breeders' Cup Mile. Mondial Least second, Grand Arch third. Mashawish was fourth in 1 minute 36 and 3/5 seconds.
Kurt Becker with the call of the Breeders' Cup Mile from last year. And, of course, Teppan beating the boys that afternoon. And it was right here in our backyard in Lexington, Kentucky at Keeneland. Teppan returns to the scene of maybe her greatest triumph later this afternoon as she goes postward in the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley. You're going to hear that coverage beginning 4:30 Eastern Time right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll encourage you to go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to check out a complete listing of affiliates, SiriusXM information, and to listen worldwide, horseracingradio.net. How good was Teppan that day, JT?
She's just a freak.
Absolute monster.
Just has turned into almost unbeatable, you would say. I mean, especially at Keeneland. She just loves the Keeneland turf course.
Well, her trainer is Mark Cassie, and we figured he didn't have a whole lot going on today because he only has Noble Bird in the Ben Ally Stakes. He has Riker in the Grade 3 Lexington. He has Teppan, as we just told you, in the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley, and he's getting ready for the Kentucky Derby with horses like Fellowship. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm good.
You ready to roll?
Ready.
We promise we won't keep you too long so you can get your nap in. I know how important that is for a trainer.
No. Actually, I'm good. Go ahead, guys.
Mark, how good is Teppan right now?
Well, we don't want to jinx ourselves. But she's real good.
Well, since she came back this year, Mark, she has been unbeatable, much like she left off last year in winning that Breeders' Cup Mile. Just talk about her progress over the past couple of months, what you're seeing from her these past couple months.
Well, you know, we gave her a little break after the Breeders' Cup, but not a big break. She doesn't really like breaks. She loves what she does, and I thought her first race back was good at Tampa. Her second race nearly gave me heart failure, and she's thrived since there. So I think we're going to get a nice day. It's not going to be too hot. I still think the Keeneland turf definitely has a little give to it, which that never hurts her feelings. So we're expecting a big effort out of her today.
How happy were you that Miss Temple City ran yesterday?
I was much happier after the race. she ran remarkable. Graham did a tremendous job with her, and I'm glad she's not in there today.
I really want to give you a shout out for Catch a Glimpse too. What a fantastic filly she's turned out to be.
Yeah,
she is. I don't think we've ever really seen her full potential yet either. She's a bit of a she's a handful, and she got a little wound up the other day. But what amazes me, a lot of people say, well, she does this and she does that. And our feeling is she does it because she's doing it so effortlessly. The switching of her leads, she just kind of, as Flo says, she loses focus. But it looked like for a minute that Ramsey's filly was going to get there, and then I don't know if anybody watched the gallop out. She took off again. It was, she was just kind of teasing them, I believe.
Mark Cassie with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, go back to Teppan for a minute. You said that her last race almost gave you a heart attack. She was way, way back turning for home and looked almost impossible that she was even going to be able to get there, and she wins going away by about a length. Take me through that stretch run.
Well, what was interesting, you know, Patrick Husbands had come down. We were having a memorial for my dad, and so he's standing next to me. And at the top of the lane, he goes, "No problem, no problem, you got her." And I kind of looked at him like, "Are you nuts?"
Don't you hate that when people say that? Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, you know, that's easy for him to say. But I have to tell you what I found so remarkable was the poise and the confidence that Julian put in her. You know, he never hit her. I don't know. I said to him after the race, I said, "Don't be doing that to me. That's not good for my heart." And he said, "Well, in fairness to me, you know, she was running pretty fast up front. You know, I was just kidding with Julian." And, you know, the nice thing about Teppan is she controls a lot of her own destiny with being able to put her in different spots, you know. And if the pace is real fast, you know, she'll be right there. And if it isn't, she can sit back.
Mark, you also have Riker going in the Grade 3 Lexington, the race before the Jenny Wiley, a horse that makes his second start of his three-year-old season after finishing a pretty game sixth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last October at Keeneland. Talk to me about Riker.
Well, you know, we only had him for a few weeks going into the race at Tampa, and I thought he ran decent. You know, Flo really liked him. Destin moved up outside of him at the half-mile pole, which made us have to make a little bit of a premature move, and he got tired. You know, I think he's going to come back and run better. I do have some questions of just how far he wants to go. We're going to give it one more attempt around two turns. And if not, you'll probably see him sprinting or doing something like maybe the Pat Day mile. But we're going to give him another opportunity today. And I think he runs his race. He's going to be right there.
You know, we were talking earlier about the fact that you have also inherited a couple of talented three-year-olds for Jack's or Better Farm, and that's Fellowship and Awesome Banner. Talk to me about those two, and talk about what it's like when a trainer gets a couple of talented three-year-olds in the barn this close to a race like the Kentucky Derby.
Well, you know, being a Florida boy, I know a lot about Jack's or Better. I mean, they have a remarkable record. A remarkable record in Florida, and to get a horse like Awesome Banner and Fellowship, it's nice, you know. Now we got to get him to perform, but we're excited about it. We look like we were out of the Derby picture, and now we may be back into it. We're gonna see. You know, I've discussed it with Fred if the horse does well, then we'll run in the Derby. If not, we may wait and go somewhere like the Preakness or do something. So we're just playing it day by day. But I think given the way the horse ran, you know, he really had to run against the bias at Gulfstream. We all know how big a bias there is, speed bias at Gulfstream, and this horse has been able to close into it. I'd have to think he'll love Churchill Down. We're excited.
What's his expected schedule over the next couple of weeks?
His expected schedule?
Yeah.
Again, just one day at a time. Right now, I think we're looking at possibly reasoning maybe Monday or Tuesday. You know, we're just started dating. This is a new relationship, and we have to see if he likes to be kissed or hugged or whatever, you know. So you learn that day by day. We've only had a couple dates so far.
Well, it's always exciting to get a new horse in the barn, whether it's a claiming horse or a stakes horse. But in this case, it's a little bit better with the Kentucky Derby carrot dangling there.
Well, you know what? It is exciting, and it's exciting, you know, with us racing now in South Florida, to get a powerhouse like Dax or Better is definitely a boost.
Mark, also a press release coming out from Gulfstream yesterday talking about your commitment to the year-round racing program at Gulfstream Park. Still planning on having several horses in South Florida this year?
Oh, yes, and that was one of the things that, you know, brought the Jacks or Better and us together. You know, they obviously are very committed to South Florida. And, you know, I'm a Florida boy, been in Florida for over 50 years, and I've just never felt like they had the kind of racing that could keep us there year round, but I see it growing and going places. And in fact, I'm now even, you know, looking to try to find better Florida breds. And what better way to find better Florida breds than go to Jacks or Better? So, it's good for us. It's an easy ship from our main base in Ocala, and you know, we'll see how it goes.
Mark Cassie here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mark, we know it's a busy morning. We'll let you go do your work, but you mentioned you're back in the Derby picture now, and the Derby's always better when Mark Cassie's in that picture, my friend.
Well, I appreciate that, and I look forward to seeing you guys this afternoon.
You got it. Mark Cassie.
Take care.
On HRN, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Not too many better than Mark Cassie right now.
No, he's very hot, and he's doing a great job in Hall of Fame nominee in Canada.
Yep.
So,
yeah, the guy can flat out train. All right, we're going to get to another break. When we come back, we're going to talk some Arkansas Derby. You're going to hear from Jimmy Barnes. You're going to hear from Ron Moquette and from the Albaws. It's all next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2016 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pin hooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, in the Southwest, we drop back and really trail the field quite a ways, and just basically circle them from the 516th hole home. And had a lot of momentum going down the lane. Never had any issues as far as traffic. He did had to circle him, but as opposed to the Rebel, there was a couple of horses back there with us that kind of lapped up on the outside of us down the backside, and then we just never did find a spot there. When he did get a chance to start running, he got stopped about the 516th or quarter pole, and then eventually got going again and was making up some ground at the end, but it was just a little bit too much to overcome.
That's trainer Donnie Von Hemel talking about his Arkansas Derby contender, Sudden Breaking News, who had a bit of a rocky trip in the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes back on March 19th. He, of course, finished behind Cupid and Whitmore and all the rest, and he'll be looking to turn the tables on those rivals later this afternoon in that Grade 1 Derby prep, the final major Kentucky Derby prep of the season as we edge closer to that first Saturday in May. We're going to hear from some of the other connections involved with the Arkansas Derby in just a few moments, but it is time now for your weekly Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions, the home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. And joining me now from New York is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Big A, good morning.
Good morning, Baron. What's up?
You ready to roll?
Always, you know that.
All right, let's do this. Nikki Z.
Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, number one. 2 weeks ago, Mohamed and Danzig Candy were on almost every short list of Kentucky Derby contenders. Now, after fourth place finishes in the Florida Derby and Santa Anita Derby, respectively, they're hardly spoken about. Big A, despite those efforts, they should still be respected in 3 weeks at Churchill Downs. Right or wrong?
That's right. You know, I think back to Thunder Gulf, and I know it was over 20 years ago, but Thunder Gulf ran a clunker before his Derby when he went and paid over $50. Well, Heyman, I don't think like that racetrack. I know that's trainer excuse number 411, but I honestly believe it. I don't think he liked that racetrack. And as far as Danzig Candy goes, I think he had the right to go backwards a little bit off of the big race in the San Felipe. And I don't think he liked the track either. The way that race set up, it was a strange day out of Santa Anita. So I think they're both very talented horses, and I think you still have to respect them. And I think those defeats maybe got you a few more points on the tote board in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to say that it's wrong. I don't think that they necessarily warrant the respect after those efforts, and I would give Mo Heyman more of a pass than I would with Dancing Candy, only because of the fact that Dancing Candy is a horse that hasn't proven he can rate, and he likes to be on the front end, and you can't do that going a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby very often. So I think that it's correct that he doesn't get he doesn't deserve the respect. Mo Heyman, I'll give him a little bit more of a pass, but I still think that last effort was not the way you want to come into the Kentucky Derby. So I'm going to say that it's wrong, that they should not be given respect in 3 weeks at Churchill.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, and number two, not one, but two maidens are pointing toward the Kentucky Derby. They deserve to be based on those prep efforts, Big A.
That's wrong. Trojan Nation, I think, took advantage of that muddy track. He seemed to really like that track. And Lauban is another one. He needed the lead, and he's tiring, and he was aided in the Gotham by an inside speed by his racetrack. And these horses are maidens. Go break their maidens. Go find an A other end. Or even if you want to go break their maidens and try something, try the Preakness or the Belmont or the Peter Pan after they break their maidens. But stop throwing these horses to the proverbial wolves. Go get their maidens broken, and then you have all summer to try Stakes Company.
Well, first of all, as of today, Lauban isn't even in the field because he's ranked number 21 in terms of the Kentucky Derby points. Trojan Nation, based on that big effort in the Wood Memorial, is in. He's sitting in 17th position right now with 40 points, so I don't think there's any issue with Trojan Nation. In terms of do they deserve to be in, well, look, Churchill Downs set up this point system, and it doesn't say anything about maidens. It doesn't say that you have to be a grade one winner to run the Kentucky Derby. Look, they are eligible based on their efforts. Now, do I think that they're going to win the Kentucky Derby? Absolutely not. I don't think either one has a prayer. But with that being said, look, they're eligible and they deserve to be in the Derby picture based on those prep efforts because of the point system that's in place by Churchill Downs.
Yeah, right or wrong? Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
And that is your weekly Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions. Big A, appreciate it, my friend.
You got it, Baron. Talk to you soon.
All right. And we're back to take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway right after this word from Sunrise.
And Dortmund, another superb performance. And Coach Inge did it by a neck.
Big Brown, the only New York Stallion to produce Grade 1 and Grade 2 winners in 2015. The leading New York Stallion earner with 2015 runners winning over $5 million. And the only New York Stallion to supply a Kentucky Derby place son. Big Brown, standing at Duchess View Farm. Contact Eric Bishop, eric@sunrisestallions.com.
All right, Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, going down the road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway. JT, this gives us, a good 7 or 8 minutes here at the end of the program before, or the end of the first hour before we get set for the second half with our good friends John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, and Michael Hernan to handicap some of the big races this weekend, including the Arkansas Derby. But as I mentioned, Jenny Reese was on location or is on location at Oaklawn Park. So she had an opportunity to visit with so many of the major connections, including Jimmy Barnes, who is the assistant trainer for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. They send out Rebel winner Cupid, and Jimmy took some time to look back on that effort.
Well, he did break a little awkward. And, you know, being down on the inside, you're kind of forced to play your hand, you know, and Martine, the plan was to kind of keep him in the clear. And well, and if that happens when you break flat footed, you pretty much have to descend him to get to the clear. So, and that's what he did. And he was able to sustain the first quarter, which they went in 22, which was a little fast. But with our outside draw this time, you know, and I've been working with him at the gate, standing him in the gate. I think we've hopefully got that behind us.
What do you think?
Well,
got all that behind him. Yeah. Do you agree?
Well, I mean, you have to listen to what Jimmy said. Hopefully he gets a better break. I mean, I think, you know, they're not going to let him waltz out there like he did the last time. I think he's definitely got a target on his back this time. So if they're planning on going to the lead again, you know, Johnny V's not going to be sitting out there in the 14 hole or whatever, yeah, checking his nails. He's going to be up there going, and you know, I think it's going to be a little tougher race.
Well, since you brought that up and the fact that Cupid did win on the lead last time and set somewhat soft fractions, Lee, I'm going to call a bit of an audible here with these clips. We're going to flip them around. Jimmy Barnes talked about Cupid not needing the lead in today's Arkansas Derby.
Yeah, it is one thing. California does have speed, you know, and he, like I said, he's definitely a horse that doesn't have to be on the lead. You know, he could be sitting second, third, fourth, you know, just as long as we're in the clear, that's the main thing, I think.
Keep him in the clear, JT.
Well, keep him in the clear is always good advice, no matter where you're coming from. But, You know, it's going to be interesting.
Do you read between the lines with that and say, okay, well, keep him in the clear. He can be behind horses. He'll rate. But if he's getting mud kicked in his face, maybe we don't know if he's going to like it. Can you read between the lines there?
If he's in the clear, he won't have anything in his face.
Right, right, which is why Jimmy said just keep him in the clear.
Yeah. So I think they're going to – I mean, traditionally, Bob Baffert's horses go. They go. They're fit. They're fast.
Yep.
They go. And then everybody has to catch him. This horse is dominating the race because of his speed, not because he's a big closer. Now, he could sit second or third. Like if one of those horses goes, you know, balls to the wall, leaving the gate and wants to blast off. And, you know, I think absolutely that would actually be to Cupid's advantage if that was the case, I think. Because Cupid can rate. I don't think that's the question. The question is, how are they going to ride him, and what are the other riders going to do? And I think the other riders are going to be going after him from the get-go, because if they let him have an easy lead again, he's going to waltz around the track. So I think it's going to be a little bit different pace scenario today. I think it's going to be a little bit faster pace, and it's going to be a more contested pace than what he had last time.
Well, Jimmy did take some time to compare the field and the Rebel to this field in the Arkansas Derby, saying this is probably an even tougher group.
Yeah, it's definitely a stronger field than the Rebel. You know, I've been watching the horses closely. Gettysburg's, I watched him when we were in Sunland Park. He ran second to us there. He's a good-looking horse. He'll be competitive. Dazzling Gem looks really good. And I also like another horse, American Pioneer, who's kind of caught my eye here.
Now, if you don't think trainers pay attention to the competition, all you have to do is listen to Jimmy there in that short clip. He's been watching those horses throughout the week down there in Arkansas.
Yeah, he's got one horse. What else does he have to do?
Right.
It's not brain surgery. Let's go out and see what the competition's doing today. So, yeah, Jimmy's a very sharp guy. I mean, he knows his way around. So there shouldn't be any surprises today.
The horse that may be most likely to defeat Cupid this afternoon is the horse that was runner-up to him last time out, Whitmore. And that is a horse trained by our good friend Ron Moquette. And earlier this week, he took some time to talk about Whitmore's development.
Different horses with a different pace scenario. And, you know, we have the gained experience from that race. I've said over and over that this race, the Rebel was just a race to get to this race. So hopefully we've gained some experience and some seasoning, and we needed races, we needed experience and stakes caliber company to get the most out of our horse for the other races. He's learning every day, and we're learning him. And you know, I think that the jockey, having ridden him once, is going to come in there with some more experience, and I'm going to know a little bit more about him, how to lead him to the race proper. So every day he's learning, and so are we.
All right, JT, as a former trainer, what does that mean? How to lead him to the race proper?
Well, that's not exactly the King's English, but, you know, I think his point is that he's learning more about him, and he has a better idea of how to prepare him and have him at a fever pitch. Now, being the devil's advocate on this horse, as I was handicapping, I noticed that his two wins were 6 furlong races, or maybe one was 6 and 6.5, 2 sprints in any case. And then in his route races, he's never gained ground in the stretch. And now he's running 1 mile and 1/8. So to me, it seems like the horse is probably a late running sprinter. He might be a fantastic mile or 7/8 horse. I question his ability to go 1 mile and 1/8. And, you know, and that also kind of, to me, weakens the case for Cupid, because, you know, he came up on Cupid, looked like he was going by, but I don't think he really wants to go that far. So that's just my observation as an outsider looking in. When you're training a horse, it's a whole different story. You can come up with all kinds of ideas in your head why the horse did this or that, or if I would have just changed this bit of training or whatever. But when you look at the race on paper as a dispassionate member of the team, it's a little bit different story. So I don't know. That's my impression of Whitmore.
Well, he did mention the fact that Irad Ortiz Jr. will be back aboard for the second time. Of course, he was aboard in the Rebel Stakes. It was the first time he had ever ridden Whitmore. Well, it'll be his job to keep Cupid in his sights. And Jenny asked Ron Moquette about how he counteracts Cupid if indeed he tries to get away with some moderate fractions like he did in the Rebel.
we can only take care of our horse, and we hope that everything works out in our advantage. You know, and sometimes that's the thing, is when you have a speed horse, he could easily get too much pressure and cost him his race, the same way as if a horse gets an easy lead and no one goes with him, then that could cost us our race. So that's, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. And me being a competitor, I want to win. And I want everything to work in my favor so I can win with for my owners and my horse. So no matter what, if it don't work out 100%, you know, I'll be happy that my horse is okay, but I'll be mad at the outcome if it's not all in our favor.
Well, now he switches to Shakespeare on us. So
he's Rambo Quat. This is what he does. He's a former boxer.
He goes from Arkansas to Shakespeare. Very, very
well done.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic.
All right, so the final clip we have for you, we do have to get set for hour number two, but we want to bring you this clip as well. Last week, Dennis Albaugh and partners were involved with the winner of the Bluegrass Stakes in Brody's Cause. Well, this week they come back with Unbridled Outlaw, same connections with Dale Romans as the trainer. He goes postward in the Arkansas Derby, and Dennis took some time to talk about being on this road to the Kentucky Derby.
He's a little bit of a different horse. I mean, he's more of he's a really athletic horse, and he's got a lot of speed. We're going to look to rate off the pace a little bit, and hopefully he can finish. But he's got a tremendous ability. Dale's thought highly of him since he's got him in the barn as a two-year-old. Like you said, he's thought he's maybe the most talented horse in his barn. So they have an opportunity to go to Arkansas and try to hit the board and possibly sneak up and get another one. It'd be unbelievable to think that we could win two grade ones in 1 week would be – We never thought of that.
Talk about having Dale Romans as your trainer.
He's Dale is one of the best trainers in the world, obviously. He's been the Clips and Water leading trainer, and he just knows how to get horses ready for big races. And he's won numerous grade ones. For him, he got us to the Derby. Now I want to win the Derby for him. That means so much to him. His backyard, he's never won the Kentucky Derby. And to think that he has a legitimate chance this year, that's his ultimate goal and dream. And so we'd love to deliver for him.
In that clip, actually, Jason Luch, the son-in-law, talking about Unbridled Outlaw and Brody's Cause with that big win last week.
Yeah, it was sensational. And hats off to our own Stevie Castagnola for finding that horse. And unbelievable race. I mean, coming off that dismal performance that he had at Tampa and then turning it around and just blasting the field away. It was very cool.
All right, again, the Arkansas Derby comes up this afternoon, 7:18 Eastern, 6:18 locally Central Time in Arkansas. Don't forget our coverage this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern. It includes the Grade 3 Lexington Stakes from Keeneland and the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley. Teppan going to the post in that one. You're going to hear both of those exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, 4:30 Eastern Time. Get more information by going to Horse Racing Radio. .net. And don't forget, you can play the Twin Spires HRRN bet back on this afternoon's Jenny Wiley. You go to twinspires.com/HRRN, and here's what you do. You make a $7 win bet, a $7 show bet. That's a $14 total wager on one horse in today's Jenny Wiley. Guess what? If your horse finishes worse than third, you lose your $14. But it doesn't matter because TwinSpires.com will refund that entire $14 bet. So you can't lose. Go to TwinSpires.com/HRRN and play the Twin Spires HRRN bet back on today's Jenny Wiley. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for a station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over. American Foe is finally the one. American Foe has won the Triple Crown.
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop charging. Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Pena and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum. Mike Pena, Jude Feld in our Lexington studios on the Horse Racing Radio Network. If you missed any portion of this program or any of our shows, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. The podcast available for you at your leisure. Mark Cassie joined us in the first half of the program talking about Tepin, talking about Riker and Fellowship and all of the different horses that he has right now, and even catch a glimpse. Things really good for Mark Cassie. You can go there. You can go to our website to hear more interviews from participants in today's Arkansas Derby. There are several posted for you, including trainer Brad Cox, the full interview with Ron Moquet, John Court, who will be aboard Discreetness, Donnie Kay, Donnie Von Hemel, discussing his Arkansas Derby contender sudden breaking news, and then the full interview with assistant trainer Jimmy Barnes talking about Arkansas Derby favorite Cupid. All of those posted for you right now at horseracingradio.net.
We're ready to roll.
We are ready to roll. And joined in studio now by our special guest handicappers. They are Steve Castagnola from Kempton Bloodstock and John Gasper from, well, we'll go with John Gasper Bloodstock. How's that work, Johnny?
Works for me.
Let's see if we can get your microphone working for you there. Yeah, we'll get your mic working for you here in just a second, Johnny. Stevie, first of all, my friend, congratulations on what was an incredible day last Saturday.
Thank you so much, Mike. Just an amazing day. A fantastic ride by Louis Sayers. Just a terrific training job by Dale. Hey, Fiesta!
All right, we're going to work on your microphone here too, Stevie. Obviously having a couple of issues here with the mics. We had to rewire a couple of things. We'll get those working for you guys here in just a moment. It really tremendous. Steve, I'm going to pass this mic over to you, as a matter of fact, and let you talk about that big day last set. Actually, try it one more time. I think we're good.
How do we sound? Oh, hey, here we are.
We're back. Stevie C. There we go.
Yeah, it was an amazing day, very surreal, and it was a privilege to be able to line up in the bluegrass field. Louis Sayers put a terrific ride on Brody's cause, and I love the way he galloped out with his ears up. He has come out of the race in fantastic shape and is continuing to get a little better every day. So our fingers are crossed that we have a good 3 weeks and we get to enjoy that the Derby Week festivities. And as Jason mentioned in his interview, we'd love to be able to win this for Dale as much as anything.
Yeah, it would certainly be incredible if you could pull it off. Dale, of course, a native of Louisville. Johnny, back to you here for a minute. Your thoughts on what we saw last weekend with Brody's cause winning the Bluegrass Stakes and then Outwork up in New York and then the big effort from Exaggerator out in California.
Well, I thought the wood was a little disappointing, actually. I mean, winner's a winner, but, I don't know. I thought they would be a little bit more, a little bit more there than there was. Maybe it was the racetrack, that some horses didn't really, really, really like it. But I thought it was just kind of somebody had to win, as it turned out. I was a little bit disappointed. On the other hand, anybody would love to have any of those horses that were in there. But I thought that here, as far as that goes, the winner was the winner. The horse that was second, I thought, ran a really good race, and the Ragusan Sheet guys are crazy about him right now and saying that he has, he's got so much upside left on him. He's only run a couple of times. And, he came out of the race good. I think that he's a horse that, is going to take some, beating, and then, how it goes over there. It's like, half of them don't get a chance to run. They get stopped. how that goes. But, and how many times are we going to hear this between now and Derby Day? The horse work, this is just exactly what we're looking for. I'd like to hear that. I'd like to have a dollar for every time we hear that, So
I wouldn't trade places with anybody.
Yeah. But, and I tell you, the horse that impressed me the most was the horse in California. I thought he was just unbelievable. I mean, it was almost like a Texas Red kind of race, if you remember.
Exaggerator,
that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Same connections.
And, that horse, he was like so far back that, he looked like a Rossi running around those horses, and the track was wet. a little bit. Maybe the other horses weren't, maybe it wasn't their cup of tea, but I thought he was extremely impressive. Whether he can duplicate that, you know, duplicate that race in a few weeks, we'll see. But, you know, everybody will be optimistic about their chances, obviously.
And I think, like John mentioned, how horses train over the Churchill Downs surface. And that's one thing that we have going for us with Brody. Is he broke his maiden over the Churchill Downs dirt main course, and that's his home. I mean, he's based, he got ready for the Futurity last year at Churchill Downs, and so we'll be running out of our own stall, which I think does mean a lot when it gets to Derby week. Interesting that Nyquist will have his final work at Keeneland and not have an official breeze at Churchill Downs, I guess is their plan.
How much does running out of your own stall or being based at your home track really make an impact, JT?
Well, I think that's an interesting question coming from a guy who could not wait to leave Florida to come back to Kentucky to lay in his own bed. That's just appalling that you would ask this question. It's very important.
Well, I know it's important for the Baron, but
for horses too. It's so much easier. It just makes everything so much easier. It's easier on your crew. It's easier on your horse. Everybody's home. They know what to do. You know, they got the fridge stocked, they got the snacks, they got everything's ready. You know, you don't have to like fish around, you know. Everything's perfect. You know what you have to do. You're in control of your surroundings. You know they pick up the trash at 6:30, so you don't have to worry about the trash truck scaring your horse. You know that there's going to be loud announcements over the PA system. You got all these things that you can actually have some control over when you're home that you can't have when you're out of town. Absolutely.
Well said.
All right.
Yeah, well said. And I couldn't agree more.
But then ask American Pharoah whether he cares or not. Yeah. Well, yeah, he doesn't care.
And some horses don't.
Some horses love it. You know, we had horses that we'd actually be stabled at Churchill Downs and put them on a van and drive them around for a couple hours around the Waterson Expressway, mm-hmm. and bring them back and unload them. And put the bridle on them and take them over there, and they ran better.
Yeah. You know, so. William Hangham Perry had a horse at Santa Anita one year, and that's what they used to do. They used to take him, they used to drive him to Pomona and gallop him on the track of Pomona and then bring him back and run him in the afternoon. He ran great. Yeah. So, yeah, that happens too.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get to a short break. We're going to break just a tad early for this segment because we want to have plenty of time to handicap each and every one of these races. But before we do, it is time for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, let's go ahead and stick with the Derby trail and Dancing Candy set for his Kentucky Derby run. Dancing Candy is headed to Kentucky, but trainer Cliff Seiss is going to alter the Twirling Candy Colt's training schedule just a bit in preparation for the May 7th Kentucky Derby. Seiss said April 15th that a Triple Crown try is a go for the Halo Farms homebred owned in partnership by Jim and Diane Bashore. But the colt won't be training up to the race at Santa Anita. Instead, Dancing Candy will record two breezes at San Luis Rey Training Center in North San Diego County, where Seiss trained 2015 Derby hopeful Prospect Park before an illness knocked him off the trail. And that's your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. We'll encourage you to head over to BloodHorse.com for more industry news and headlines, and check out Blood Horse Daily, briefing you on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have a PDF emailed to you in a daily newsletter or download the app on your smartphone today, bloodhorse.com/daily. And we're back to take a look at some of the big stakes races at Keeneland and Oaklawn Park right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click, Order, Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed. What would you say has made Click, Order, Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, Order, Eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. The most expensive yearling from the great pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with a Clip Champion honor code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away. Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull.
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Have you been looking for high-quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
Spendthrift Farm Stallion Malibu Moon has produced more Kentucky Derby contenders this decade than any other sire. His five Derby starters are more than Tappet, Into Mischief, Curlin, Giant's Causeway, Kitten's Joy, and Mineshaft. And Malibu Moon is the only sire among that group to have produced a Kentucky Derby winner.
Down to the wire! Orb has won the Kentucky Derby for Sean McGee!
Malibu Moon standing at Spendthrift. Visit SpendthriftFarm.com.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
The result was a foregone conclusion a long way from home. Songbird soaring to ever greater heights. She's now an Oaks winner.
Songbird was once again dominant in winning the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks this past weekend, remaining undefeated in seven career starts with four Grade 1 wins and a combined margin of victory of 36 lengths. Her tour de force in the Santa Anita Oaks makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired one of the greats in Rachel Alexandra, who was Horse of the Year at three and the best three-year-old filly since the 1970s. Medaglia d'Oro is now represented by 14 Grade 1 winners, including Golden Slipper Hero Vancouver and Champion Songbird, who joins Emshuish as Medaglia d'Oro's two Grade 1 winners in 2016. No other sire has more. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
I turned on my phone after we got done with the press conference, and I had 72 text messages. It's just so exciting to have your family and your friends in the state of Iowa get behind this. You know, everyone now knows this is what our goal is, to win, to get into the Kentucky Derby and have your dreams come true. It's really special.
We heard from Jason Luch at the end of the first half of the program, and that is Jason again talking about what it's like to be on this road to the Kentucky Derby with horses like Brody's Cause and Unbridled Outlaw, who is going in today's Arkansas Derby. Mike Pennant, Jute Feld, joined in studio by John Gasper and Steve Castagnola. We are handicapping the big races from across the country, including the Lexington Stakes and the Jenny Wiley from Keeneland, which are races we'll have for you this afternoon on the network. You'll hear them exclusively beginning at 4:30 Eastern time, so make sure you tune in for that coverage. Stevie, we're going to start with you, and we're going to start with race number 7 at Keeneland today, which is the Grade 3 Ben Ally. It's one of four consecutive stakes races on the docket, purse of $200,000 for the older horses going a mile and an eighth.
I think a fairly evenly matched field in here and a good wagering opportunity in this race. One thing that I found quite interesting is that the three Amy's Holiday and the eight Neck and Neck, they've made a combined 50 lifetime starts. They've earned right around $1.8 million between them. Both of them go blinkers off today, and as far back as you can see, they've been wearing blinkers. So kind of an interesting move on both those older horses with so much experience that the trainers both elect to go blinkers off today. Just a tidbit there for you. I'm actually going to make the number one Breaking Lucky my play. 15-1 on the morning line for Reed Baker, a Canadian trainer and more than capable of coming to Keeneland and winning a big race. This horse's best lifetime buyer speed figure of 93 was earned over the main track. He has been running for the most part on Polytrack up in Canada, but he does own a 93 buyer on the main track, albeit in a Canadian bred restricted race, but the purse was $500,000 that day. He was probably needed his last race, guys. He had not run since the 16th of September last year, came back 12th of March at Tampa, going a mile and a 16th. And ran a very good third. He showed a late rally there under Elvis Trujillo. And unless there's a jockey change, this is Elvis Trujillo's only mount of the day. So Breaking Lucky, I think, will get my money. And I'm actually going to go bookends and take a little look also to the outside with J.S. Buck, Tale of the Cats, four-year-old Tale of the Cats colt. This is another horse who was coming off a layoff last time out, ran the middle of March and won under John Velasquez. He's lightly raced. He has four wins in five starts and a second. Javier Castellano and Todd Pletcher at 10-1 is very enticing. And if you have a question mark about the distance, he did break his maiden going a mile and a 16th by 8.5 lengths. And the running line was bumped at the start, clear handily. So I don't think distance will be a question mark for the 10 JS Buck. I'm going to make the one Breaking Lucky my play at 15-1 and see if I can get a juicy exacta there in the Ben Ally with using the 10.
And of course, JS Buck, one of two horses from the barn of trainer Todd Pletcher. He's won the Ben Ally twice in the last 5 years, including last year with Protonico. Johnny?
Yeah, the interesting horses in here are the 5 and the 6, I think, and Noble Bird, who's had really, you know, about 4 races there in a row back. And, of course, he won the Stephen Foster back last year, and then he had he ran a terrible race in the Whitney, and obviously something went awry there, so they gave him the rest of the year off. He came back with a little prep down there at Oaklawn. Be interesting to see how he bounces back, because he ran some tremendous figures last year when he was on a streak. We heard from Mark Cassie this morning a little bit about him, and this horse had been training at Oaklawn Park all winter and brought him up here, and I see he had a bullet work here at Keeneland recently, so it'll be interesting to see how he comes back. Neil Howard's always been high on Eagle. He is the program favorite, I believe, but he had a really rough trip the other day down there in New Orleans, and I think you can kind of put a line through that. And he's also, he was coming off of a lifetime best 2 Ragusan sheet number. So the between that and the bounce factor, I think that you might have, he's going to perform much, much better here today, I think. And Steve talked about J.S. Buck. Here's a horse that's an up-and-coming kind of horse. I mean, here's a horse that's, even though he's 4 years old, he hadn't run that many times, and he hadn't done much wrong either. So, and he'll get a pretty good spot. He's got tactical speed, so I'm going to say, you know, between the 5, 6, and 10, that would be my exacta box in there.
Noble Bird, Eagle, and J.S. Buck, and of course Eagle, as John mentioned, trained by 4-time Ben Ally winner Neil Howard. You remember he won it 3 consecutive years from 2003 to 2005 with Mineshaft, Midway Road, and Alumni Hall, respectively. We'll see if Eagle can add his name to that list later today.
Yeah, there's no reason why he can't. He's a very talented horse, and he gets reunited with Brian Hernandez, who rides him best, I think.
All right, that's the Ben Ally. It is, again, the first stakes race of the afternoon at Keeneland, race 7, post time 3:53 Eastern. The race following it will be the $100,000 Giants Causeway Stakes, 5.5 furlongs on the turf course. And keep in mind, it is going to be a gorgeous day here in the Lexington area with temperatures up close to 80 degrees, plenty of sunshine. We'll have a fast main track and a firm turf course for this big field in the Giants Causeway. John Gasper, what do you think?
I'm going to kind of go toward the middle of this pack here and look at the 5, 6, and 8 horse in here. Well, 5, 6, 7, and 8, actually. And let's start with Miss Matzo Ball. She's the 5 horse and actually the morning line favorite. She's come – her last few races have been extremely good. She obviously won a little stake down there at Gulfstream, going 5/8 on the turf. But her races before that, she's just gotten a little bit better and a little bit better. Now, she did run a lifetime best, which is always somewhat questionable as far as coming back and performing after that. Of course, Javier Castellano, you can't go very far wrong with him. Jewel of a Cat has been she's been a very consistent horse. She doesn't like to win a whole lot, but she's going to be close. Therefore, I am going to use her in the exactas, but I'm not going to put her on top. Grand Motion, as we know, he can do about anything with a horse, especially on the turf. Get him ready. This horse hasn't run since October last year and didn't run really well over this track last year here at Keeneland. However, she does have a win on the dirt. So it's going to be kind of an interesting situation there on why he, you know, turned her back to the turf. And this is Miss Ella. You can't hardly leave Graham out of the equation. I think you got to use him. And of course, we got Wesley Ward with the Chilean horse here by Fusiachi Pegasus, that belongs to the Don Alberto stable, who is actually the old Vinery farm. And they brought this horse. This was a Chilean bred and another horse that's been running. She's running at the fairgrounds, Gulfstream. And then had a little bit of a rest and went back out to Santa Anita and ran in September and ran a very, very good race. Her numbers are consistent. I'm going to put her on top. I'm going to say 8, 6, 5, 7 for the super.
8, 6, 5, 7
for the super.
From John Gasper in the Giants Causeway.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go for the super, but I'm going to go for the trifecta. And if my selections come through, our good friend Kurt Becker will be struggling with 100 yards to run because my selections are the 2, Miss Double Dioro, the 5, Miss Matzo Ball, and the 7, Miss Ella. I'm going Miss, Miss, Miss in the trifecta. Miss Double Dioro, the 2 horse, trained by Neil Drysdale. He comes out from California, brings this 4-year-old daughter of Medaglia Dioro out of a diner, former mare. She's a down-the-hill specialist at Santa Anita. I don't know how that's going to translate to shortening up going 5.5 furlongs here. But Jose Lascano is one of my favorite riders, and I'm sure he can navigate a trip somewhere. Miss Matzo Ball, as John said, Javier Castellano. This filly's got great numbers. And daughter of Smoke Black, and I think you've got to use her. And we saw what Graham Motion is capable yesterday. And on that note, congratulations to Bob Feld, Sean Feld, and Jude Feld, the whole Feld family with Miss Temple City. But Graham comes in with Miss Ella. And I think you could make a case for about half the field in here. But I'm going to see if it's going to happen. Miss Double Dioro, Miss Matzo Ball, Miss Ella. Good luck, Kurt Becker.
Well, a big field of fillies and mares and some fast ones here, so it figures to be a rapid 5.5 furlong turf sprint. Don't blink or you'll miss it. Get it? I know, that was awful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely
it was
terrible.
Just hit and miss. That's
absolutely all. Terrible. What do you think, JT?
I like Miss Double Deoro myself. I've found that horses that run good down the hill also run good at Keeneland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in love with her post position, but I think she's a pretty nice filly. If you told me that I would be even remotely interested in betting on a Neil Drysdale horse going 5.5 furlongs at Keeneland, I would have told you that you need to go to the drug rehab. But anyway, I think she might be best. And Calumet Farm, you know why she's here. So anyway, we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, that's the Giants Causeway. It will be followed by the first race you'll hear live with us this afternoon, beginning at 4:30 Eastern, the Grade 3 Lexington Stakes with a purse of $150,000 for the three-year-olds, mile and a 16th on the main track. It's a field of 10 set to go. Keep in mind, two horses have come from the Lexington Stakes to win the Kentucky Derby. You had Swale in 1984, who was actually second in the Lexington, and Charismatic in 1999, the only horse ever to win both. And since we are talking about the three-year-olds and the Derby picture with this upcoming Lexington analysis, a good chance for us to remind you that if you go to our website, horseracingradio.net, Jude and I had a chance to sit down for a full hour, an amazing visit this past week on Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton with Jack Sisterson, who is the assistant trainer to Doug O'Neill. He was very candid. He talks about being part of the O'Neill family. He talks about what it's meant to be part of horses like I'll Have Another and now Nyquist. But it's a great interview. Go check it out, horseracingradio.net. Trainer Talk presented by Fasig Tipton with Jack Sisterson. All right, guys, the Lexington Stakes, Grade 3. Who wants it first?
Well, I think there's two horses in here, two three-year-old colts that are going to take the most action at the windows and going to garner the most attention. The obvious horse is the 9-5 favorite, and that's Swipe for Keith DeSormo. As Mike mentioned, and John, Exaggerator, also trained by Keith DeSormo, a huge run in the Santa Anita Derby. This horse, Swipe, has been training up a storm since the Breeders' Cup, and we've all been wanting to know, when's he going to show up? Well, here he is, and he's glad to see the back of Nyquist. One, two, three, four. Is it four? Maybe five consecutive second-place finishes to the champion two-year-old and probable Derby favorite Nyquist. So he gets away from Nyquist, but he has not run since Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup. He's not going to offer a lot of value. The horse on the outside is the other horse that's probably going to get a lot of attention, and that's the 10 Collected for Bob Baffert. This horse made the money run to Sunland Park last time out and took down the $415,000 purse out there. He's got three wins in five starts. You know, I just can't take 2-1 or less on a horse like him. So with both those logical probable favorites, I'm going to look elsewhere and go with the 5 Synchrony. He has a win over the racetrack. Son of Tappet for Donnie Von Hamill. I'm a big Pin Oak fan. I'm a Mrs. Abercrombie fan. I'm a Clifford Barry fan. And I'd love to see these connections take this race. And I think the horse has a live shot. And we got two favorites that have some question marks regarding them. So I'll make the 5 Synchrony my pick. If there's enough pace for him to run at, he is a horse that likes to come from off of it.
Yeah, great people at Pin Oak, and would be great to see Synchrony win it. Of course, a son of Gainsway Stallion Tappet as well. So a lot of things for our HRN team to cheer for with Synchrony. Johnny, how do you see the Lexington?
Again, you know, the first, like say, Steve Pitch talked about Swipe and Collected, and again, that's you know, like I say, those are short-priced horses, and I wouldn't be surprised if either one of them win. But, again, I kind of like the two horse in here a little bit. Direct Message coming off a maiden win and ran really, really well down at Gulfstream around two turns down there. And Tommy Albatroni's bringing, obviously, the Godolphin horse in here. He's by Bernardini and out of an Unbridled Song mare. And Unbridled Song has turned out to be a very, very good broodmare sire. So this is a young horse. He's only run a few times and he's kind of getting his act together. His numbers are getting better and better, and I kind of give him a chance in here. And I agree with Steve on the 5-horse Synchrony. I think that down there in the Southwest, which has been, you know, I mean, that was the day that it was, the track is listed as good, but it is actually muddy. And, I mean, he ate a lot of it. And there was a lot of horses that got, there was 14 of them in there. And, I mean, there was a lot of horses that didn't really get a chance. So his race prior to that in the Smarty Jones was pretty good. I think he's got a little upside to him. I'm going to kind of look at that. And Mark, we heard Mark Cassie talk about Riker earlier, and he thought he ran okay last time. And excuse me, that he, you know, that's his first race this year. I don't know whether it's good. I think there's going to be enough pace in here where these horses that they're going to come from behind are going to have a chance. So I mean, there's going to be a lot of pace. That's why I kind of maybe a little lean toward the five horse in their synchrony, because he's probably going to be sitting back there, and if he's good enough, he's going to have a chance. But I'd probably go with the trifecta box with the 2-5-8, not the 3-5-8.
Hey, you were thinking about it.
But golly, I can't do it. But, you know. But
so, direct message, synchrony, so, and Riker as the three.
Yeah, the Barbados trifecta, the 2-5-8 instead of the 3-5-8.
JT, what do you think?
Well, you know, the 102 Brisnet speed figure by collected is 5 points better than par for the level. So you got to respect him. He's not a bad horse. He's not a great horse, but he's not a bad horse. And I question Swipe. Why would you rush this horse? He's obviously got talent. They've done nothing but rush him. If you look at his work pattern, he comes back off the layoff. He works a half a mile in 51. Then he goes 5/8 in 102. Then they blast him off 112 and 4 out of the gate, a mile in 143. I mean, to me, this has press written all over it. They have a horse in the Derby, so I don't know why they would want to rush this horse, then run in the Lexington, maybe run back in 3 weeks in the Derby, or maybe if they're training for the Preakness, they're doing a lousy job of it. And I love Keith DeSormo, but I just hate to see a horse rushed like that. A horse that interests me a little bit is Big Squeeze, Gary Sims' horse. This horse is developing nicely. 2 seconds and then a win in a maiden race. His numbers are getting better all the time. He's by Lemon Drop Kid out of a Menifee mare. If that doesn't tell you the horse wants to go long, I don't know what does. Chris Landeros is a better rider than a lot of people may give him credit for. And I think that horse has a chance to, you know, be somewhere in the frame, as they say, in GB. And, you know, he'll be a good number on the board, Big Squeeze. So he interests me probably more than anybody in this race.
And he's a horse, Big Squeeze, dude, who, if you look, he's been taking money at the windows each of his starts. So he's obviously a horse that they think a lot of and has been bet every time at the windows.
That is the Grade 3 Lexington, race number 9, step 4, just before 5 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back. We'll take a look at the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley and then segue into looking at some of the big races at Oaklawn, including that Arkansas Derby. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2016 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power to honor and serve is the real deal here.
Passion
to honor and serve is the winner of the Cigar Mile.
Performance
to honor and serve would not let Mucho Macho Man buy.
Gainesway Stallion to honor and serve. Bernardini's Grade 1 Millionaire and Top 10 Yearling Sire with his first crop in 2015. To honor and serve yearlings included $450,000 and $220,000 colts at Phasic Tipton Saratoga and the session-topping $300,000 filly at the Phasic Tipton New York bred sale in August. Keeneland September yearlings by To Honor and Serve were topped by $250,000, $195,000, and $160,000 colts and a $150,000 filly. To Honor and Serve is Bernardini's only multiple graded stakes winner at 2, 3, and 4, defeating Breeders' Cup Classic winner Mucho Macho Man 3 times in 4 meetings, all in graded stakes. To Honor and Serve, standing at Gainesway.
And they're off to New York. The premier stakebred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Claiborne Farms Warfront has earned international acclaim as a champion sire. Last year, Air Force Blue won 4 Group 1 events on his way to being named Europe's champion 2-year-old colt. While stateside, Hit It A Bomb captured the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf at Keeneland. In the auction ring, Warfront's 7-figure sales included a North American record $3.2 million weanling. Warfront at Claiborne Farms.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy. Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March on Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
2.5 lengths covering a group of 5 at the quarter pole, heading for home. Mrazek from Dub Dub Watson. Swipe on the inside is 1.5 lengths back. And Rallis right down the outskirts. But a good kick from Mrazek has carried him to a 2-length lead, coming past the 8th pole. Swipe about to peel across his heels and try to deliver a late challenge. But Mrazek's 1.5 lengths in the front. Swipe's trying ever so hard to wear him down. Mrazek holding on. Swipe diving at him. It was a big dive that I think carried him to victory in the Summer Juvenile Championship in a photo. Dub Dub Watson, 5 lengths back, 3rd from Swiss Minister.
Michael Ronan with the call of that Summer Juvenile Championship at Los Alamitos back on July 12th of last year. It was a signature win for Swipe because it was his maiden victory and the only victory in his career so far, but boy, has he been knocking heads with the big boys. You remember, this is a horse that kept finishing behind Nyquist throughout much of last year. He has faced Nyquist 4 consecutive times, finished 2nd all 4 times, but no Nyquist in today's Lexington Stakes. Swipe figures to be one of the ones to beat later this afternoon as he makes his 3-year-old debut. And again, that coverage coming up 4:30 Eastern Time right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld in studio with our handicappers, John Gasper and Steve Castagnola. We've taken a look at some of the big races at Keeneland. We have one more to go, the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley. A field of 10 entered. We know that number 1, Miss Temple City, after winning the Makers 46 Mile yesterday, will not go to the post. So we're down to 9 in this one. 1/16 on the turf. Johnny, what do you think?
Well, we heard Mark Cassie talk about Teffin, and everybody knows about her. She's, you know, and even Graham Motion after his win yesterday with the Miss Temple City said that, you know, that's the reason he ran in that race against the boys in the Maker's Mile yesterday as opposed to here because she's the best around, you know. And so we, obviously the other day she was 9 miles back, which is a little bit odd on, if you look at her chart, I mean, she's usually right around there, you know, she's usually right there, but she got shuffled back pretty good and responded and got the job done. And as you heard Mark say, you know, Leigh Peru's got terrific confidence in her. And never even hit her. So she'll, you know, but she'll be very, very short priced as far as the better goes. And probably a single on a lot of people's pick 3s, 4s, and 5s or whatever's, you know, whatever they do. But let's start with Christoph Kamansa horse, the 2-horse. I can, whatever you want to call it there, Akati. But anyway, it's an Irish bred that's first time in this country. Hadn't run since October. Obviously ran in some of the bigger races over in Europe yesterday, in France actually, in Ireland, and it ran, you know, I mean, ran against some really nice horses over there. Obviously, he brought her up here for a reason. I'm going to give her a big chance in here at 8-1, and Jose Liscano, who I think is one of the better turf riders in the country, will ride her today. She's been training at Payson Park. And we know that Christoph can get him ready right off the, you know, right off the layoff. That's not a problem. Chad Brown has 2 horses in here, the 3 Decida and the 6 Wakila. And Wakila is another horse that hasn't run in this country. and was again running some of the good races over there in Europe. Hasn't run since last year. Gary Stevens coming in to ride. That's kind of, I didn't see any other horses he was on today. Did you, Jude? Did you see anything?
No, I thought that was very interesting.
I know that Martin Schwartz, the owner of Wakila, has had some luck with Gary, so maybe he, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to Chad, actually, this morning.
But they're running at Los Alamitos, too, and maybe Gary figured he'd rather go to Keeneland.
Yeah, well, you know. And, like Drayden Van Dyke, you know, I mean, he came over yesterday. I mean, he looks like he's going to stay here. Of course, Tom probably brought him. Tom Proctor, you know, made him come over. But there again, you know, there's a horse there that you don't, I mean, you don't know, you know, she hadn't run in this country. She's obviously worked very well at Palmettos and has had to work here over the turf course. So you kind of got to give him a chance, even though, like I say, you know, Teppan's the one to beat. So if you're gonna eliminate her, eliminate Teppan, or go walk, you know, use her as on top, you'd have to put. I'm gonna put the 2 and the 6 underneath there, so it'd be basically an 8-2-6 or 8-6-2. In my opinion.
All right. So Teppan being the one to beat in there, no doubt the top pick for John Gasper, trying to get a little value in the gimmicks. Stevie, what do you think?
Well, Teppan is an absolute monster, isn't she? I mean, she's a deserved champion. She's 2 for 2 at Keeneland. Her normal running style is to be up on or near the lead. And if anybody out there listening has access to race replays, to watch her race last time in the Hillsborough, and Mark Cassie touched on it, as John said, in the first segment, but that was remarkable, that stretch run in the Hillsborough last time. It was amazing to me. She's the real deal, and she's a fan favorite, and let's hope she can put on a show today. I'm sure she will. As far as looking for value, I'd be inclined just to sit and applaud Teppan myself, but forced to make a wager, I would key her on top of Akita the 2 for Christophe Clement, Decita the 3 for Chad Brown, and then Recepta the 4 is a filly I've always liked. A real good-looking 5-year-old mare by Spitestown. This 5-year-old mare has a win over the track, over the course and distance. And she's been training well for this. She comes off a layoff for Jimmy Toner. He's capable. Florent Giroux may have cooled off slightly, but he's certainly in the right spots at the right time out here at Keeneland. So I'd play the 8 over the 2, 3, 4. Myself in a trifecta, but it's an opportunity to see something special out here with a terrific race mare in Teppan.
And post time for the Jenny Wiley, 5:32 Eastern time.
Yeah, I kind of concur with Stevie. I think Decita is a horse that has a lot of potential. Last year as a 4-year-old, she was actually 3.5. Now she's 5, so she's caught up to him age-wise. You know, I think she's a pretty nice filly. I'm going to call Akatia or Akatea. She's a filly, got a 116 racing post rating as opposed to Wakila's 109. So that's kind of attractive to me. And as John said, Jose Lascano, great turf rider. This filly's got some nice form in France. I think she's probably the biggest fear. If I was Cassie, I would probably be worried the most about her, because she's a big question mark in here. She might be, you know, the best horse that Teppan's faced in a while. So
I agree. And they're the unknown, aren't they? And she does get first-time Lasix. Interesting that the 3 Decita, the last filial mare to beat Teppan, was Decita.
All right, guys, only about 5 minutes left. We want to take a look at the 2 races at Oaklawn, the 2 greatest stakes, the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap and the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. So let's start with that Oaklawn Handicap for the older horses. Mile and an eighth, FNX, the 2-1 morning line favorite.
Yeah, and he's had problems with hives, according to Jimmy Jerkins. His trainer got the hives out there in California several times and didn't run terrible. I mean, he ran okay. He was 3rd, but I'm sure they were a little bit disappointed in him. But I think he's a little better than his last race, obviously. And he's probably the horse to beat. He's a 2-1 favorite. There's 2 horses in here that impressed me their last 2 starts. And the one horse, Blofeld, belongs to the Great House family, who obviously lives here in Lexington and partners. He kind of got stopped the other day a little bit. He had to kind of check a little bit, and Johnny, he got through on the rail and just got up to win, but it was a little bit better than what it looks on paper. And, I mean, he ran a huge figure. That's the only thing that bothers me. He's coming off of it. But he does have another race prior to that, so it's his third race. And the other horse that I was impressed with, and I saw him personally when I was at Oaklawn run in the Razorback, was Upstart. Upstart, he's a big, good-looking horse, New York bred. Man, I mean, he came back firing this year. I mean, he ran a huge race down here. Joe Bravo's going back down there. I talked to Joe yesterday. He's excited about this horse. I'm going to give him a big chance, but I think it's between those three, in my opinion. The one, Blofeld, and he's, like I say, he'll be stuck on the rail again, but that's okay because he likes it down in there. FNX, probably the horse to beat, so, you know, we'll go with the 8 and trifecta box, 168.
The 6 Upstart, as John said, great looking horse. He was the wise guy pick in the Kentucky Derby. This horse has run some freaky fast numbers, buyer speed figure and raggers and sheet wise. Came off the layoff to win the Razorback Grade 2. That was a prep for this. And I don't see any reason why this horse won't make a step forward. And I'm actually going to make Upstart one of my best bets of the day, the 6 in the Oaklawn Handicap.
All right, 7-2 on the morning line. How about you, JT?
Well, I just love the huge weight break that FNX is getting today from Melatonin. I just can't believe the 6-pound switch. So I think Jimmy Jerkins must have been ecstatic when he saw the weights for this race.
All right. Well, that's the field, or that's the analysis of the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap. I'll throw my hat in the ring here too, guys. I'm going to take financial modeling at odds of 8-1 in that spot this afternoon. All right, the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, post time of 7:18 Eastern, 6:18 Central, race 11. 6 horses have won the Kentucky Derby after competing in this race. 3 have won both, including last year's Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah. Stevie?
Well, seven of the 12 come out of the Rebel Stakes, including the favorite, which will be the 10-horse Cupid. You know, set tepid fractions maybe in his last race, but obviously a horse of the utmost quality. That's the 10 Cupid, but... Again, I've got one near and dear to my heart, having selected Unbridled Outlaw for the Albaugh Family Stables. We're trying to win back-to-back. I could just let you know that when these horses were at Barry Birkelhammer's as two-year-olds, there was not much between he and Brody's cause. In fact, the nod may have gone to Unbridled Outlaw. As a two-year-old, he had some horrendous trips. He came out of the Breeders' Cup. He was actually my bet in the Breeders' Cup over Brody's cause. He came out of the Breeders' Cup with just a minor issue, just required 60 days. He had been training unbelievable. We wanted to run him at Gulfstream. We could not get a race to fill at Gulfstream Park, so we had to send him to Oaklawn on the Rebel undercard. He was very fresh that day. He set the fractions. He was 8.5 lengths clear of the third place horse while finishing second. And the interesting note is that he ran a quarter Ragazan point slower than Cupid. That was his first race since the Breeders' Cup. And I don't think he'll be 10-1. I think he'll be closer to 5-1. But, boy, it's not easy. But we've actually got a chance to win back-to-back Grade 1 million-dollar races. And obviously, Unbridled Outlaw, good luck to the Albaugh Family Stables. Barry Birkelhammer, Lisa McGreevy, all part of the Albaugh team.
Yeah, good luck to you as well, Stevie. Johnny, in about 1 minute or less, your analysis of the Arkansas Derby.
I'm going to make my best bet of the day, Dazzling Jim. And there's 12-1 coming off of. He's only run 3 times. He had a really bad trip in the Louisiana Derby. And Brad Cox does nothing but win. He's winning at 33% this year. I talked to him the other day, and Joe Talamo is going to ride this horse today. I'm going to give him a really big chance. Cupid, when I saw him run down there that particular day, and he was just amazing. There was one other horse that's kind of the buzz horse down there right now, American Pioneer. Saw him run, actually, that same day. That was the Rebel day. This horse here exploded at the 8th pole. You hear me? Exploded. I mean, he won like a good horse. Wouldn't surprise me. I'm going to make he and Dazzling Jim, my first top two choices, 5-7 all, 7-5 all.
All right, 12-1, 8-1 on the morning line would be pretty good. JT, who wins the Arkansas Derby?
Well, I'm going with Creator, making the big late run.
No.
All right. Well, there you have it. That race, again, 7:18 Eastern time, 6:18 locally in Arkansas. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap this one up. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way.
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir. Hello, boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sire is a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Pen Oak Stud.
Kirkwood Stables has a long and storied history of producing and selling winners at the highest level.
Alphabet Soup has scored a shocking upset.
And Memories of Silver draws clear.
Soaring softly, the queen of the American green.
Flame Pretty holds on to the Oaks.
It is Winter Memories, victorious again.
Visit this year's Kirkwood consignments at the upcoming OBS March and April sales. Kirkwood Stables, proven success. Learn more at kirkwoodstables.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, April 23rd for a great day of racing, including 13 races highlighted by the $1.25 million Grade 2 Charlestown Classic. The night also features six other stakes races and a $100,000 guaranteed all stakes pick four. Post time is 12:45 Eastern with the Charlestown Classic scheduled for 6:05. If you're interested in seeing some of the best horses in the world battle it out, mark your calendars for Saturday, April 23rd and the $1.25 million Charlestown Classic at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Hey, you know what? If you're in the Versailles, Kentucky area, and I know we have several listeners in that particular area, and you're looking for somebody to take care of your lawn this spring and summer, well, there's only one place to go, and that is indeed Penna's Lawn Care. Of course, that is my brother, Sean. He, of course, a retired police officer, and now with his own lawn care business, does a phenomenal job, and I can promise you that if he comes by, he'll give you a great, fair estimate. They're free estimates. He will do a tremendous job with taking care of your lawn. He will go ahead and cut it, trim it, blow all the clippings, edge it for you, whatever you need him to do. You can visit PennasLawnCare.com to learn more and to contact Sean, and I promise you, he'll take great care of you. PennasLawnCare.com if you're in the Versailles, Kentucky area. Pat, a very busy show this morning. Covered a lot of ground.
Yeah. Started at a nice pace and then finished up fast.
And we're not done yet. We're back this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern time, with coverage of the Lexington Stakes and the Jenny Wiley. By the way, we did send out a poll question earlier on our Twitter account, at HRN on Twitter. We'll encourage you to follow us there. The poll question of the day: in the Arkansas Derby, who you taking, Cupid or the field? And the field has pretty much dominated. 50% of the people taking the field to just 43% for Cupid.
50 to 43?
57 to 43.
Oh, 57 to 43.
Come on.
I thought you said 50.
Keep up. Okay. Well, how would that be? That would be 93%.
Oh, that's what I was questioning.
Our thanks to all of our guests for being here with us this morning, including Doug Dearen from DerbyBox.com, Mark Cassie in the first half of the program, Jenny Reese for all her help in providing us with some of those interviews from Oaklawn Park, John Gasper, Steve Castagnola. Again, 4:30 Eastern time. Join us this afternoon for all of that coverage and check out our entire broadcast schedule at horseracingradio.net. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Jude Feld, the pontiff of the Pick Four, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you this afternoon right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Hey, the NFL schedule's out. Go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.